All right, hold on. We are about to intentionally change our data in a way that matters, not just for its expression and communication, but these transformations will change your statistical results, which means they must be done properly, honestly, publicly, and communicated. Anytime you do any of the stuff that we're about to talk about, it needs to be in your report. There's no such thing as, oh, well, yeah, I changed the data, and yeah, it made things better. You shouldn't even know that it made things better. We're going to talk about a set of rules for picking transformations. And when we look at the examples, we're going to make the transformation, then we're going to check if they made things better or not. The only time we're going to analyze raw data and compare it to cleaned data is to make the point that it helped. And help does not mean supporting your research hypothesis. You know this when you've heard it before. Our goal is not P less than 0.05. Our goal is not to support our research hypothesis. Our goal is to get it right. And the emphasis now is that getting it right starts with, or at least at some point in there, is doing it right. Not shoving data into statistical models to which they don't belong. Either because of mathematical operation considerations or distribution considerations. So here we go. Nonlinear transformations. There's one catch point here, and there's a moment of honesty. So, again, the whole idea of nonlinear transformations is to symmetrize distributions so that they are more symmetrical, which is the really important part of normality. Most statistical models are boogered up more by skewness than by kurtosis. Kurtosis can have a little bit of an impact on your standard deviation, but it doesn't screw up your mean, so we really worry about things that screw up the mean. Standard deviation, we know, is kind of out on a limb anyway, and that's why we depend on replication so strongly. Skewness can be positive or negative. If your skewness is within the range, negative 0.8 to positive 0.8, most suggestions are leave it alone. The research on this started in 1971 when one of the first really big versions of an IBM 360 became available to some people at Yale and Oxford, and some of the statisticians came up with big chunks of money, because this is back when you paid for shit, like $5 a CPU second. You put your money down and then you paid for your printout and then you took it home. The idea is that data that are skewed no more than this comport themselves well, and you get the right answer out of your T's, F's, and R's. Now, the rest of the world gets divided up into positive and negatively skewed distributions. Positive first. If you're somewhere in between 0.8 and 1.5, a square root transformation is typically just fine. But, the caveat, in order to take a square root, you must have a zero or positive values. You can't take the square root of a negative value in here. In a real math class, there's all sorts of possibilities. If you're between 1.5 and 3, then a log transformation. You can't take a log base 10 of zero. And so I usually set myself up operating on data so that I don't have zeros. I have all positive values. If it's greater than 0.3, we jump ship and go to the very first transformation routinely used by behavioral scientists. You don't see it used much, but this is what got us all started. The inverse transform. It is. That's your value. That's your transformation. 1x. Yes?
In this situation, if you wanted to use like a square transformation, could you convert your data to like t-scores? for the purpose of doing that transformation?
You can. But you're going to end up with a distribution that's not a t-distribution, because these things are changing the proportional distribution under the curve. And a t-distribution really is built for a symmetrical distribution that all you've done is redefine the mean and the standard deviation. All right? So we're not talking about re-expression. We're talking about changing the shape so that it better comports itself to our statistical friends. You can do any linear transformations you want anytime before or after a nonlinear transformation. I'll tell you about one that is really common in the big bad world that happens all the time and nobody mentions. Yeah, that shit. When you're doing runway work with rats, there's always some fucking rat. There always is. Time to get down the runway. Rats. Those rats. And this was during a time when data were sacrosanct. If you collected a data point, it's your fucking data point. It gets analyzed. Now, if I have these two distributions from my two groups. Oh, let's do it this way, it's more fun. My treatment mean is going to be a whole lot bigger than my control mean because of those damn rats. We didn't really have nonparametric statistics yet. But we did have mathematicians, usually in the building next to the behavioral sciences. And they said, oh, well, what you need here is you need a transformation. And when they did that transformation, that inverse transformation, they got results that seemed to go with what they thought they saw in their data. Results replicated a little more because there's always some lucky bastard who doesn't have those rats in the group. And then they get this distribution. And it shouldn't look. And so the idea is that we've got things that later we would call outliers or influential cases. And their existence or non-existence in a data set was changing the results. Now, they should change, but not like this. We should be interested in what labs, under what conditions, da-da-da-da, did we have those rats, and when did we not? But clearly, when we're trying to talk about comparing the centers of the two distributions, which is what we have given ourselves over to when we do t-tests and f-tests, right? We're saying we're going to assume everything's the same and just ask if the mean is different. As if a mean difference were the grail. It has become the grail. That's the oldest one we have. It was so common that people didn't always report it. And you would look at the runtime, and it didn't say seconds. It had this number. It was like, who can run it that fast? I remember the first time I really noticed it. I was doing runway work. Was that my third semester in graduate school? Every semester I was in graduate school, they put me into a different research lab. So I worked in 10 different labs in 5 years. The idea was to broaden me so I could teach courses like this sooner. Instead of waiting for, you know, wisdom to set in, we just beat me with it. And I built the stuff, because I'm a farm kid, so I was building the equipment, and I'm watching around. I know how long it's taking, and I noticed the distribution. Then I'm reading an article, and I looked at the x-axis. Who fucking looks at the x-axis? The hell's that? Those aren't... What is this? Oh, yeah. We do this thing with the data. Everybody knew. Except the kid who built the hardware. Now, when you go look, you're likely to see one of two things. You're likely to see people saying, for small amounts of positive skewness, do this, medium, large. other places you'll see people talk about these values. But rarely do you see all three in one place. So this is based on kind of a meta-analysis, looking at lots and lots of different books and primers and articles. And so this is a pretty good place to start. If your research area does lots of nonlinear transformations, make sure you know what their rules and guidelines are. So fine place to start, but not a guarantee that this is what you'll do at home. Now, these transformations are designed to reduce positive skewing. We're now talking about the item that will be missed most on the homework. Let me just tell you, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to head off all of this. All of this is about one frickin' item on the homework. It is entirely possible that your data are negatively skewed. Transformation, yellow, remember, yellow always means pay attention. Transformation of negatively skewed distributions first require reflection, which involves subtracting all values from the largest value plus one. Now, I'm using largest value plus one, so we end up with all positive reflected values, so you can use any transformation. Technically, if you're doing a square root transformation, you don't need the plus one, because we can take a square root of zero. And so, you reflect, and then follow the same spacing rules. And as you'll see when we do the homework, you always check. What you're hoping for is the least disruptive yet useful transformation. So if a square root will work, don't do a log. If a log will work, don't do an inverse. Except, there's always an except. If your research area has strong conventions, either follow them or get ready to go to war. Okay? Log transformations cause a difficulty with certain analyses. I don't know how good your math is, but you may or may not remember that the sum of the log, if we take two values and we take a log transformation of them and add them, and then run the anti-log of that, we get the same value as multiplying the raw values. So one of the things that we do in fancy math, I just lied. One of the things they do in fancy math is they use logarithmic transformations in addition as a substitution for multiplication. It's really, really important in engineering and some kinds of proof structures. In 942, we will talk about interactions. Interactions are the non-additive combinations of things, i.e. multiplicative combinations of things. So if you put the log transformation of two variables into a multiple regression, you are not putting those two variables in, you are only putting in their interaction or multiplicative combination. And nothing in the world will tell you that that's what you've done. And you will get results that are weirdly awesome. I actually use it as a technique with some frequency because I figured out how to look at it and it's fast. That's the same reason that algebras use it and trigonometry people use it, because it's faster, especially if you're doing shit by hand. So, you should know how your community feels about these things, and you should make sure that the first thing you do before you do a transformation is know if you're transforming a positively skewed or a negatively skewed value. Let me say that again. When down about halfway through the second page, I say, do a transformation of this. Don't build the transformation until you've gone back to check whether the original variable is positively or negatively skewed. Just saying. I've said this every year for 30 years. Maybe you'll be the ones who listen. So this is just a really cheap example of how symmetrizing works. Original distribution is positively skewed. Transforms distribution is not. Why? Because a score of 4 doesn't move very much, but a score of 36 moves a great deal. All that you get out of this is an increased symmetry of your data. That's it. You end up with a unit of measure, it doesn't make any frickin' sense at all. Remember when in physics and calculus they always made you put in the unit of measure? Da-da-da pounds, da-da-da-da this, da-da-da, for this moment. Because if you take pounds and square it, what the hell is pounds squared? And if you take distance and square it, you do not have area. You have squared distance, not area. Shit. So one of the things that people sometimes do is they take the symmetrical part of the distribution and calculate a mean and a standard deviation on that. Then they do the transformation, nonlinear transformation to increase the symmetry. Then they do linear transformations on this to return it to the mean and standard deviation of the symmetrical part of that. Now you're back in the native scale. And as long as you don't start making comparisons between that sample and a population value, you're now back in your native scale. It's perfectly legitimate if you tell people you did it. Some areas use it a lot, some don't use it at all. It's confusing the first time you see that somebody did a log transformation, but you have the same mean that you expected. Wait, how bad was that distribution? No, we just put it back afterwards. And that's well into art and craft as opposed to math. And you need to know whether you have an area that does it. All right.